Welcome to the BGSS Deploy podcast, where we talk about all things that are related to delivery management. I'm Charles Ruprell, your host for today, and we have three really awesome guests with me here today. First one is Nigel.
Hi, Charles. I'm Nigel. I'm a DM at BGSS. I have a technical background as well for 25 plus years. Over 12 years in delivery now. Last four of those at BGSS.
Welcome, Nigel. Martin.
Hi, thanks. I'm a technical architect, been with BGSS for a couple of years almost now. My main background is microservice architectures, both on AWS and Azure, and I've done quite a lot with workflow and workforce management software, both web and mobile app delivery for those kind of platforms.
Fantastic. Welcome, Martin and Tom.
Hi. Tom Brooks. I'm a business analyst. I've been working as a BA in software for the past 5 years. Across a wide range of different types of projects and different engagements in pensions, banking, healthcare, and aviation.
Fantastic. Welcome, Tom. So we've got three key roles here in the room today. We've got a delivery manager, we've got technical architect, and a business analyst. Three key ingredients we think to bring a really great transformation and delivery. So today we're going to talk about the collaboration that's required against for those three roles to deliver a successful outcome or a successful transformation. So let's focus on delivery management first. So Nigel, from your perspective, no doubt you've been involved with a number of transformations. What's it been like as a delivery manager and working with a technical architect and a BA, or in the absence of at times?
Okay, before we go into that, just use the word roles. It's key that we refer to roles and not individuals, because these roles sometimes covered by more than one person. I think from my perspective, I'm safe to say that everyone here is always focused on delivery quality. So speaking for myself, I ensure that I fully own and I fully cover the DM role. So that's what I am. And everything that entails. But we also need the same coverage of TA and BA, obviously. Those roles need to be covered equally. But the real hub of it for me is that further to that, we need each of these three roles to overlap with the other two to some degree. And I think that's where we get to the heart of what the collaboration of these three roles actually means.
So, Nigel, from your perspective, there's like an overlap, right? I can see like a Venn diagram kind of forming there between those key roles to really make sure there's really positive collaboration. And as you mentioned, they are roles, but at times they do get blended. But shouldn't we just humanize that and say that actually there might well be just individuals playing a certain part?
It could be. It could just be individuals, or it could be a group. It's just the end result with regards to collaboration remains the same, that you have to have the same effective coverage of those roles, regardless of the situation.
Interesting. Martin, from your perspective, how does that play out?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for me, just going on from that, it's the awareness of each of those roles to what the other one is doing that is the really crucial bit. So you can't just be a tech architect and just get buried in the technology at the expense of understanding where the business analyst is coming from and what their requirements are. And likewise, you can't ignore the DM function and, you know, all the metrics and things that they bring to the party. So, you know, from my point of view, from technically, it's massively important to me that, you know, we make the business analyst aware of any of the technical issues that we might be having so that he has an understanding of that aspect of things. And the same for the delivery manager. So I know Nigel said at the beginning he has some technical background, but I feel it's really important that the TA effectively gives the briefing of that relevant technical information to those parties, which then gives them the ability to ask sensible kind of sanity check questions. So that for me is a crucial piece of it.
I totally agree as well. The best architects I've worked with have been people who've crossed over with my role and asked questions of me about the business function of what we're building and has kind of pushed back to me as on requirements if needed. Sometimes, you know, often kind of justified, because nobody's perfect, nobody gets everything. I certainly don't. So I think it's really important to sort of have that crossover patch where you're sort of covering a bit of each other's roles. And I think that makes everybody work better.
Yeah, it's that healthy dialogue to make sure that both parties understand, you know, all the relevant nuances that go in there, because otherwise, you know, you'll end up with requirements that, you know, are either difficult or not quite feasible for some reason or other, or we end up too long down in the technical weeds, not actually delivering what the customer actually wants.
And, yeah, and that's precisely what I meant by overlap, exactly that. Because if you two are working that way and are mindful of each other's challenges, shall we say, we're not going to end up with a situation where we start building something we can't build because it's not feasible. For example, that's one thing we can head off by being collaborative in that way. And as a DM, that it makes me happy because it means we're going to have a technical backlog and a feature backlog that blends together, because you two are going to look after it and prioritise it and mesh it together to a coherent delivery sequence. And that's another massive positive.
Yeah. You mentioned backlog. Something just popped into my mind actually when you said that about something I'm dealing with at the minute is how to prioritize features versus like tech debt on the backlog. It's kind of the eternal question as part of backlog management. But one of the ways you can do that, if you're working kind of joined up between the business and technical space, is you can look at what kind of tech enablers or tech debt items you've got on the backlog and think, well, what features is this going to accelerate delivery of, or what is the stuff that stakeholders want to get done, and how can we use that to sell the tech debt that we really want to do by saying this is going to speed up the delivery of that thing you want further down the line. So if you work joined up like that, it can really enhance the team's knowledge of what the stuff in the backlog actually is.
That's the classic, actually, because a DM will be a very skilled facilitator in those conversations, and it can help bring it back. But you need two things. And this is a really good example, Tom, actually, because the DM meets person would need a technical lens from Martin to say, if we don't build this thing, X, Y, Z might happen. And that goes for everything in there. But we also need the business view as well, because each of those things is going to have different value to the end user.
Yeah.
And that's an absolute classic case of this working properly. None of us could do that on our own.
Definitely not.
I mean, for me, it's like I try and think in that sort of situation, the DM's a bit like the quarterback. You've got to give him all the plays with all the information, and then he can make the right decision to be able to balance, well, I think we need this feature and we need these tech items, because that's going to make sense in the overall wider context. But if we haven't synced up and he's missing half of the information, then it's going to be significantly more challenging to start making those right calls.
So, gents, what you've just called out there is a happy situation, right? It's a happy scenario, a really good balance between business, technical, and from a delivery perspective. Have we been in those situations where, in the absence of one of those roles, right? So let's say, Martin, Tom, you guys had a disagreement, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't get on, in the sense of you disagree in a positive and a challenging way. Actually, you think it's a really key business item. We need to get it out there. Martin's like, no chance. There's no way we'll be able to develop this in the short time you're looking at, Tom. Mm-hmm. And I fully appreciate there's a market requirement, there's a market need, and the cost of delay of delaying that feature is going to cost us a lot of money. Mm-hmm. How would that play out? And what kind of tips would you give to somebody who is in that situation?
Well, I think on that one, sorry to jump in there. I mean, if you disagree, there has to be that exchange of information. If you haven't got the information exchange, you'll end up with something that is either not going to meet the requirement and expectation, or is not going to be achievable in the time frame. And so, you know, the way I see it is that there can, and in many cases are, quite, not necessarily polarized, but different factors and pressures on that relationship to actually deliver the feature. But that's where the communication is even more important, to try and work through, okay, well, what compromises could be made? What can we get away with either putting off to another phase or not delivering quite in the same manner, so that, you know, you achieve something for the desired date that is a plausible solution? And whilst you have highlighted that as a relationship between BA and tech, again, you come back, if we've kept the delivery manager informed, he'll be able, almost from a neutral corner, to be able to ask the right questions, make the right suggestions, and manage the right degree of compromise.
So the point is exactly that. I mean, it kind of doesn't matter too much if we disagree with each other in a nice, respectful way, because that's just natural. It's about how you react. And ultimately, with Tom saying this is what we need, and Martin saying this is what we can do and how we can build it, working with those two, I can help paint a picture of when it might be delivered. And ultimately, all we can do is give people choices. It would be quite rare for us to be the only decision makers in that conversation. There's going to be a sponsor or a stakeholder. And like any other walk of life, if someone says, what would you like? And you say X, and you say, well, you can't have X. You'll say, well, what can I have? Right? And then you want to see your options, don't you?
Mm.
And no one is going to come up with any of those options without all three people in this group working together.
I think one of the most important ingredients in having that conversation is basically curiosity and empathy.
Yeah.
On all sides. Because, like, I... If there's something that business has brought to me with a need, we need this, blah blah blah, blah, the architect saying it's not going to be technically achievable, I think it's not a conversation which really should need like facilitation, like conflict resolution. It should be that the business analyst is saying, okay, let's explore like why, and I want to know why, and what's the tech reason, you can tell I'm really technical, what's the tech reasons that
we're not using factor?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then the architect can sort of dig into, well, why do we actually need it? And then we're both sort of speaking from the same frame of reference, which is when you have to get to that point of having the same common understanding before you can then have the conversation about, well, what now?
So what you've just described is exactly the same process, whether you agree with each other or not.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point. Whether you might be surprised something's not technically feasible. But, these things happen. And if it was technically feasible, you'd go through the same steps to work out what you were going to do.
Yeah. I mean, just to put maybe a little bit more of an example of it, if the three roles were working on a platform where it was designed and built by the one team from the ground up, having some of those technical restrictions and them needing working through in that way, that might be something of a surprise. But in a lot of complex environments, and for example, the one that Nigel and I were on previously, you tend to find that there's quite a few technical dependencies that aren't necessarily fully under the control of your team. And that's where a lot of those, the overall requirement seems entirely feasible and fine, but you need the TA and probably the full technical team underneath them to be drilling into the detail to try and decide, is that really doable? And those things then might not be as immediately obvious as you might think in a relatively simple scenario.
Interesting. So from an accountability perspective then, we've come to some kind of agreement. We can't deliver everything. From a technical perspective, Martin's kept it on and said, look, guys, we've come out with, this is the best we can do. We've come to some kind of agreement between the three of us or the three roles that this is the way forward. Who's accountable for that delivery and message and getting that message back to the sponsor?
It can be twofold. Well, or it could be threefold, potentially. Certainly the delivery manager will be, because they're the ones who share the plan. So the plan of what we're going to do, what it's going to cost, where it's going to go. But the BA as well, definitely, because they manage their stakeholders effectively. So it's a probably joint in that regard. But similarly, the fallout from that, the why can't we do this thing? But I also need a TA to get to their stakeholders and say, you know what, we ought to start thinking about building this thing that we're missing here in the future. So I would say, again, all.
Yeah, the knock-ons will be everywhere. So if you do have a technical limitation, you, you're probably going to need to address that either by, further items on the backlog to, you know, to be taken as tech debt into the future, or potentially the development of new features that are going to support whatever it was that maybe missing in the first place.
And that should come back full circle through the front door again to the priority chain and everything else, and just rinse and repeat.
Yeah. Well, that was one of my other things about, you know, and that's a very typical life cycle that, unfortunately, a lot of things tend to end up in some kind of compromise. And so that management of the items for future discussion on the backlog, that's the other thing between the TA and the DM. That's really important that the DM has got awareness that we've had to put these things in for consideration in the future, because then that all needs to blend back into, you know, the next sprint, the next iteration. Yeah. Taken forward for future discussion.
Have you guys been in a position where one of the roles hasn't been present?
Yeah.
Okay. So tell us more about that, Nigel. How did that play out?
It's really difficult to explain, but given everything we've said so far, it should be fairly clear that it's going to be difficult because of the way these three roles work together. I can't think of a suitable analogy at the top of my head, but essentially, if you spread something thin enough to cover a bigger area, you end up covering it a little bit patchily, in my opinion. So what you can find is you have to work doubly hard. You need more support because whatever happens, you have to fulfill that other role, because you can't go for free. You can't go without it. You might be able to in some projects, some special, maybe solely technical projects might not need to be any, for example. So there are potentially reasons for it. But in a typical project, I've always found it incredibly difficult in one of those roles. And you almost entirely end up relying on additional people. So yeah, that's my experience of it. It's always preferable to cover the wall, which I said at the top.
Makes sense. Martin, any thoughts on?
I have worked in a position where I've had to cover the TA and BA role. I suppose it has a tiny plus in that there's no internal conflict or communication issue. But the downside is it makes it massively, massively difficult to give each aspect of that role the care and attention that it clearly deserves. So something always falls out as not being done properly. You run the risk of not spending enough time really making sure you're developing what's wanted. So you get that risk of, you just might make the wrong thing. Or if you go too far the other way, you might not give, you know, enough consideration to your technical environment, and then you might suddenly find that it took you way, way longer to deliver what you hoped because you'd not properly accounted for some, you know, technical underpinning factor. Yeah, so it's not a pleasant way forward would be my comment on that.
I would actually think from my experience, having done projects where these three roles that we're talking about are working dysfunctionally, I've done that, but I haven't done it where one of them is missing. I think the former is worse, because if you've only got a DM and a TA, for example, then you're looking at that on paper as a makeup of a project, and you think, okay, there's obviously going to be something missing here. It's going to be. I would hope easier to justify support, like look at this role that we don't have. Whereas if you've got the three people in the roles where they should be, and there's gaps where people are assuming that one or the other person is doing something but they're not, or there's duplication where there's wasted effort because two people are doing the same piece of analysis, one from tech, one from business, then that's, I think, worse. And without effective collaboration, it's also it's more damaging.
Yeah, I'd agree. I guess the difficulty is, let's say, if we go back to the management of tech debt that might arise, if as a TA I'm not doing any of that. I'm not putting any of the tickets in the backlog. It's really obvious for Nigel. You know, he can see that, that there's no tech debt in the backlog. The alarm bells will start ringing and he can do something about it. The difficulties come if I'm doing a bit of a half a job. So maybe I've got 50% of the tech debt item there. And then, you know, if the relationship between DM and TA isn't working that well, then it will be difficult to spot the fact that you've got half the things missing.
Yeah.
And I think that's crucial. Where you've then got the good communication, it's okay because the DM understands what's going on and he can spot the fact that, gosh, there's some of that information missing. I need to take, you know, corrective action there.
And that's the overlap again, because I would absolutely overlap in all your conversations like that. And I would know if something was missing. And that the point that Tom raised is so key, because that's kind of the whole point of evangelizing this message that we're doing now, isn't it?
Absolutely.
About it. So, yeah, I mean, I agree, Tom, actually, that when the 3-year-olds are present, but one or more of them doesn't realize that they're potentially not as effective as they could be, that probably far more damaging. Because you don't actually. Well,
more expensive.
You should know that there's a problem. You should know that it could be potentially more difficult to detect.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's some great discussions here, guys. Thank you so much for your time here today. Really, really appreciate your thoughts and all the great thought leadership you bring to the table. Just want to leave you with some key takeaways for all our listeners. So, Nigel, from your perspective, what would one thing would you like to give as a key takeaway to make sure there's more inclusive, successful, tightly collaboration for projects and programs and delivering change?
As a delivery manager, just work really closely with the TA and the BA or whoever is hopefully in their role. And don't take anything for granted. That's what I would say.
I like that one. Martin?
Yeah, very similar. I mean, I think keeping the DM briefed about the technical aspects is really, really important, because when things get a little bit, not necessarily fraught, but you have to focus on the technical problem, the DM can then be that slightly neutral corner who can answer the sensible question or can put the right suggestion in to help keep things on track. And without that relationship, you lose that bit.
Makes sense. Thanks, Martin. Tom?
My specific where I try and stay collaborative is by sharing things that I'm doing frequently when they're in draft. So moving away from a sort of more traditional, okay, I've finished it, here it is, tomorrow, I've started this, I've done an hour on it, what do we think? Am I going in the right direction with this? And let's put half an hour in and let's flesh out the rest together. I think that's a much more effective way of both producing deliverables and building relationships.
Thanks, Tom. And that's kind of bringing everyone as a part of your journey, right? As things are kind of elaborating, you're kind of taking people on a journey, getting the buy-in from the outset. Well, thank you all. That's all, folks, for today. And speak to you soon. Cheers.
Thank you.